reconciliation, I want us to look at what we're doing and understand what God was showing us. Anybody else love how God used such symbolism to communicate to us? In all areas of life, there's so many symbols God used through creation, through everyday events, to show us himself, and communion is another one of them. It's so important that we understand as we take the bread and we take the cup what we're doing. So let's begin by looking at verse 6. He said, "Therefore, the people of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." So we know in the context of the story, that's 400 years of slavery. What's that mean to us? What's that speak to us today? The slavery is sin, right? That is what it symbolizes. It symbolizes the sin in our lives. And how many people need freedom from Egypt? We're all born under slavery, right? We're all born to that slavery of sin. And as they took that first cup, and that we're going to take, I want us to recognize that what was God doing? Because we are dead in our sins and our transgressions. We're dead in Egypt. What could the Egyptians have, or what could the Israelites have done to escape Egypt? They could do nothing on their own, right? They had to rely on God. And the same is true today. We can do nothing in our sinful state. We're dead in our sins and transgressions. We need a Savior. We can't save ourselves. We can't be self-sufficient. That's where God said, "I will do it. I will bring you out of Egypt." Then, as we come to the table this morning, we've got to remember, we're not coming on our own merits, right? It's not, have we cleaned ourselves up? It's, are we trusting Christ? Are we trusting Him? Because He's fulfilling the covenant we can't keep, right? We had to live perfect. We can't come. None of us can come on our own merits. So that's the first promise. What about the second promise in the Seder? What was the second thing they drank to? And it's in verse 6 again. It says, "I'll deliver you from slavery." As you come to the table this morning, are you still in bondage? Are you still in bondage to sin? Are you still struggling? Well, it's not about us freeing ourselves from that slavery. I like how he said that, like, even after they'd come out of Egypt, all they ever known is what people told them to do. We were slaves. We don't even know. And he said, but I set you free. Once again, it's not about our effort. It's not about us cleaning ourselves up. It's not about us being worthy to come. It's about recognizing that only through the blood of Christ can we come. It's a table of grace. This is God's grace on us. It's a recognizing that we're born dead in Egypt. He brings us out. And when He brings us out, we still can't overcome. Because even outside of Egypt, He had freedom. And what they came to the Red Sea, and they're like, wow, we're done. We're dead. Were there no graves in Egypt? Because the Egyptian army was pursuing them. Only God could overthrow the Egyptian army. The same is true. Even when you do come to faith, only the Holy Spirit can free you from the sin. And that's part of the sanctification we talk about in the Christian Missionary Alliance, the belief that you have to come to an end to yourself. You have to come to a place where you understand, I can't live good enough. I can't overcome sin in my own power. Only Christ, through the Holy Spirit, can redeem us, can cleanse us from the power of sin. We can overcome that power, but not in our own ability, not in our own strength, only by the power of His Spirit. And then we look at the third reason they drank. And that was the cup that He instituted with the communion. There's a cup of redemption. God said in verse 6, "I will redeem you with an outstretched arm, with great acts of judgment." God utterly destroyed the Egyptian army, didn't He? He destroyed Egypt with judgment. And here's what we have to recognize. God crushed Jesus. The full wrath of God was poured out on Christ. We're going to get into that. Actually, there's actually five cups. We'll get into the fifth one next month before we take communion. We're going to look at the fifth cup. But as we look at this, and it just hit me as He said that with great acts of judgment. He's going to redeem us. Well, God redeemed us with a great act of judgment, didn't he? Let's not lose sight of that. As we partake this morning, as we take the bread, what did Jesus say? Remember, it's the leaven, bread without leaven. Remember, leaven was equated to sin. So this bread has no leaven because he was the spotless lamb. And as we partake, he said, eat my flesh. That's what he's talking about. We have to come to him, and his broken, sinless body is the only thing that could have taken the wrath of God. Because outside of the blood of Christ, you will stand and give judgment. And what's the penalty of your sin? It's death. So that's what we partake. That's what we celebrate. When he took that cup and said, this is a new covenant in my blood. Up until that point, without the blood of Christ, who answered for your sin? You did. So he took the wrath of God with that cup. He redeemed us by taking the wrath of God. And the fourth promise, the fourth cup that Ray Vanderlaan said he didn't drink, is in verse 7. I will take you to be my people, I will be your God, and you shall know that I'm the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. Did you catch what he said? That was marriage language. And I believe the reason Christ didn't drink that cup, he said, I will not drink again until my kingdom. What are we looking forward to? So there's a promise here. He's going to drink the fourth cup when? When he comes back and gets his bride, right? That's the promise. We are going to have a marriage ceremony. It's the wedding feast of the Lamb. It's all a picture, right? It's all a symbol. God is coming again. There's a promise at this table that he is coming back. There's a promise that he will drink it again when he's celebrating the wedding feast where we're with him and his bride is pure and noble, right? So as we partake this morning, I want us to just think about that. As we come, as we examine our own hearts, it's not, are you worthy? It's, are you his? Because you know that our righteousness is Christ. So it's not, are you worthy to come? Because none of us are. It's by grace we come. But the key is we want to examine ourselves and not fool ourselves. We want to know that we are his. We want to know that we love and serve him. Remember, it's always about the heart, isn't it? It's always about our heart. Where's your heart? Do you love the Lord? Do you want to repent? Do you want to be in relationship? If you do, come. And if there's sin in your life, it's the Holy Spirit who cleanses us and redeems us. It's all God. This is a promise from him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, as we prepare for communion, I pray that we would pause and examine our heart, Lord. This is not about, are we good enough to come? Because we know only you can conquer death. Only you can set us free. Only you can invite us to the table. It's about, do we know you? Do we love you? Do we want to serve you? And are we willing to let your Holy Spirit continue to bring us to repentance, to continue to empower us to overcome? There's times if anyone's like me where we feel defeated, we feel depressed, we get tired of our struggles and our battles of sin and we keep losing, let us come this morning. Jesus said, if you're heavy laden and if you have heavy burdens, come to me. Not fix yourself. Not try harder. He said, come to me. My burden is easy. My yoke is light. He wants you to come. Come to the table of grace. We thank you for this grace that's found in your Son. We thank you that you didn't just let us to ourselves, for we'd all die for our own sins. You gave us a spotless, perfect Lamb. And Lord, I pray everyone here this morning will take and eat his flesh and drink his blood. And we do this as a family, as we celebrate our Savior. We do this in remembrance of you. And may we embrace that Hebrew word that this table will mold us. This table will change us. This table will make us people who love our Lord, who understand the sacrifice, who embrace his love, his grace, and his mercy that's just on display. As we do this, may we remember who we are, We're dead in our sins and transgressions. We're lost without Christ. And remember the grace and the mercy found in you. Lord, you didn't leave us alone. You came. You rescued us. With an outstretched arm, you pulled us out of Egypt. You cleansed us. And now you're bringing us to be your bride. May our hearts always look forward to meeting you, to being with you, and to knowing you. And may your grace pour out anew this morning on all of us as we come to your table. In your name we pray. Amen. The ushers come forward for communion. Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took the bread. He gave thanks. He probably said, "Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who bring forth bread from the earth." And he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's partake together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the spotless Lamb of God, who's our manna from heaven, who's sinless, and who took our sins for us. Amen. Just think that for thousands of years, Jewish people at the Passover would take this next cup. It was the third cup, cup of redemption, where God promised, "I will redeem you." And they took it and they drank. And when Jesus took that cup, he said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood." And he redeemed us. Let us partake together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that when we were slaves to sin and death, you came, you did the work, you breathed life into our dead souls, and you brought us freedom. And then you took our old sin nature and gave us a new one, and you empower us to overcome. And you promised us that you're going to come again. And Lord, we do this morning in remembrance of you. And may we remember, like Ray Vanderlaan said, that it will change us and impact us. May our lives revolve around the grace we found here this morning in your body and in your blood. May we live to glorify and honor you, and may we celebrate this morning as a family that we look forward to your coming again, your promise that you will come and redeem us and bring us home to be your bride, and we look forward to that wedding feast where you will drink from the vine again. We pray all this in Christ's name.